This is the voice of DC cab drivers, brought to you Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. by Dominion of Cab Drivers here on WUST 1120 AM. You can download and listen to past programs at thefightback.org.
A few months ago, you asked us to form an association. We have formed one association. The name is the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. Join that association. We don't need another one. If we join, everybody joins our association, we'll be successful.
I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, thefightback.org. In addition to listening to the voice of DC cab drivers on the radio, you can listen live at WST1120.com or on your phone at 712-432-6620. And you can find past programs of the voice of DC cab drivers archived at thefightback.org. Wednesday, Mayor Vincent Gray announced Ron Linton as the new chair of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission. Linton replaces Dina Reed, whose 3 months as interim chair were marked by controversy. Gray released a statement announcing the new Taxi Cab Commission chair, which stated, quote, "Ron Linton has a distinguished career in the fields of transportation and public affairs and brings a special brand of well-seasoned knowledge, communication skill, and leadership that the Taxi Cab Commission so desperately needs at this time." In introducing the newest member of his administration at a press conference at the John A. Wilson Building on Wednesday, Gray said, "In Ron Linton, we have selected a gentleman who has absorbed more about public policy and administration than most of us will ever hope to know. He learned the ins and outs of the taxicab industry while serving as a member, vice chair, and then chairman of the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority." We begin with Mayor Gray's announcement on Wednesday, which was followed by remarks by Linton, who then took questions from reporters.
I'm pleased to announce the appointment of Ron Linton as the chairman of the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission. I promised when I was elected that we would work to improve the taxi cab industry here in the district, and that starts with leadership. In Ron Linton, we have selected a gentleman who has absorbed more about public policy and administration than most of us will ever hope to know. He learned the ins and outs of the taxicab industry while serving as a member, vice chair, and then chairman of the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority from 1992 to 1994. For 6 years, he chaired the operations committee and was instrumental in the planning of airport financing of nearly $1 billion. He has many years of experience in government and business and has provided exceptional public service to the residents of the District of Columbia. Mr. Linton has served two previous mayors. Of his many public service roles, most notable is dedicating himself to the citizens of the District of Columbia for 22 years as a reserve police officer, the last 4 years of which were as a fully sworn deputy and assistant chief of police. Mr. Linton is a native of Detroit and a graduate of Michigan State University, where he majored in political science. He lives in Ward 3, and I want to welcome him to the Gray administration as the chair of our taxicab commission.
Good morning. When the mayor was interviewing me for this position, he said, "Now, Ron, this is 24/7." I said, "Well, Mr. Mayor, can we make it 12/6? I expect to be very busy over the next number of months, and it on surface is a very simple thing that is very complicated to do. It's a regulatory agency that is responsible for being fair and reasonable to the drivers and owners and to the people who use cabs. And that is what we will try to do. As we look at the issues and the problems, we will stay with the concept of fair and reasonable. That's the job of a regulatory agency."
After Mayor Gray introduced Ron Linton as the new Taxi Cab Commission chair, Linton took questions from reporters. The first question was about medallions, to which Linton responded, "I think it behooves us that I don't start committing to a specific position before we've had public meetings, before we've listened to both sides, before we find out who benefits and who doesn't benefit by the medallion system."
Well, let me take the medallion question first of all. That that's a policy issue that is deals with the role of taxicabs in the scheme of all the transportation services. And it, in the end, it's going to be a position, it's going to be a decision that the mayor and the city council are going to have to make. In the interim, I would assume that they will call on the commission to make recommendations. And I think it behooves us if that I don't start committing to a specific position before we've had public hearings, before we've listened to both sides, before we find out who benefits and who doesn't benefit by the medallion system. Now, I have some interest, some background and some understanding of it, Mark, but I'm not in a position yet to say who benefits and who doesn't benefit. And I think that if we're going to do this properly, we have to do it through a process that allows all the interested parties to get on the record and make a rational decision.
Linton was then asked about taxicab fares in the District of Columbia, which are the lowest in the region and some of the lowest in the country. While he didn't commit to making D.C. fares comparable to the rest of the region, Linton said the responsibility of this office is to find a proper balance through rate setting so that the drivers and the owners are getting a fair return on their labor and on their investment, and that the users of cabs are getting quality service and a fair charge.
Well, I think the responsibility of this office is to find a proper balance in through rate setting so that the drivers and the owners are getting a fair return on their labor and on their investment, and that the users of cabs are getting quality service and a fair charge. That's not a fixed in one-time solution. That's a constant moving thing, and it's going to take this commission over and over again to keep adjusting that to make sure that we do have a fair balance between the two. You know, there are a lot of aspects of fair charges. For some people, using a taxi cab is a luxury. For other people, it's a necessity. And I'm going to be as concerned about older, low-income, fixed-income seniors in this town who have no other way of getting to their doctors, to getting to where they have to go. They have physical problems that don't allow them to take mass transit very easily. And, you know, a dollar to you and me and an increase in the cab may not be anything. A dollar increase to them may be a lot. So we have a lot of examination to do to find out who benefits and who doesn't benefit. But in the end, it's got to be fair and reasonable.
Reporter Dorothy Brazil of the Mail at DCWatch.com asked Linton how familiar he was with the operations of the D.C. Taxicab Commission.
I would say reasonably familiar with the, with its operation, with the issues and with the problems. I've spent the last week or 10 days reading Title 3 and the various chapters and the procedures and operations. But that's all mechanical stuff. The fundamental thing is whether you have a fair procedure to allow a resolution of the disagreements between those who want more and those who want less. And that's what it comes down to.
WTOP and ABC7 reporter Mark Seagraves asked Linton about whether meetings of the D.C. Taxicab Commission would be open to the public and whether there would be any restrictions on media access. Linton responded, "I started my professional career as a newspaper reporter, and so I'm not too frightened of journalists." Linton continued, "There are no state secrets over there that I know of, so I know of no reasons why public meetings are not open to the public."
Well, Mark, I started my professional career as a newspaper reporter, and so I'm not too frightened of journalists. I learned very early in that career that if you have a secret, don't tell anyone. Because it only takes, it used to take before electronic journalism, a matter of days when you told the first person before everybody knew it. And now with electronic journalism, it's a matter of hours. So an open meeting, there are no state secrets over there that I know of. So I know of no reasons why public meetings are not open to the public.
City Paper's Alan Suderman, a.k.a. Lou Slips, asked Linton about the medallion issue.
Yes, I understand the general principles of the medallion process.
Suderman then asked if Linton had ever lobbied for medallions, to which Linton replied, "I have not lobbied either for or against anything in the taxicab industry."
No. I have not lobbied either for or against anything in the taxicab industry.
Mayor Gray concluded by underscoring that the Taxicab Commission meetings will be open, period. I don't know how to put it more directly than that.
All right, thank you very much. And let me just underscore it. The questions about open meetings, that the meetings will be open. Period. I don't know how to put it more directly than that.
That was Mayor Gray and the new Taxicab Commission Chair Ron Linton speaking to reporters on Wednesday. Directly following the press conference, I caught up with Linton and began by asking him his thoughts on the future of the D.C. Taxicab Commission. After the arrest, there were calls to eliminate the taxicab commission. Now with your appointment, do you feel that keeping the taxicab commission as it is and filling the seats may be something that will be considered?
Well, I don't know what the options are. I mean, my approach to things is I like to look at all issues on all sides and make what is a rational decision. I've read the Enabling Act, the concept of what we're supposed to have here. I've been trying to read the rules and regs. That's a pretty big chapter. I think that, that clearly there can be an improvement on the use of the procedures that are in place. And my intent will be to try to make what we have functional so that it has the respect of both the sides of the issues. If we can't do that, then maybe we have to look at something else. But I think we can do it. This is a regulatory agency. You're supposed to let people plead. You're supposed to do discovery to find out what the facts are. You're supposed to have a public hearing so that everybody gets a chance to say what they want to say and submit what they want to say. And then you have to deliberate on this and come to a rational and reasonable decision and then explain it. You know, write an opinion and say, this is why we made the decision we did. I would hope that does it.
My understanding is the 1985 Taxicab Commission Establishment Act calls for 3 industry representatives to be on the commission. Presently, there are none. There are 3 vacancies open.
No, I think there's 2, isn't there? I'd have to look at that. But I think the question we have to ask is, do you want public hearings? I mean, what's the purpose of public hearings if you have a commission where everybody already has a position? I don't have a position. I want to know what the facts are. I want to know who gets help, who gets hurt, how do you make this fair and balanced? If I represent an interest group, or if I stand up at the beginning and say, here's what I think about it, it doesn't become a commission. It's a dictatorship.
Are you referring to drivers? Because right now there's not a single driver. Are you referring to them as a special interest group?
Well, of course they are. They're interested in drivers, and they have a right to be. But that isn't, the decision isn't going to be made by the drivers sitting at the table and the consumers sitting at the table arguing with each other. That isn't the way you want to do this.
Some are concerned that the reason they've gotten to this point where there's been so much turmoil is because drivers have been completely left out of the political process.
No, they won't be. They won't be. They'll be in the process. It's not a political process. It's a rational process to let everybody get clear what the impact is on them. Drivers deserve a reasonable return on their labor. They have tough jobs. There's just anybody wants to be a taxi driver because they think it's easy, blessings on them. That's a tough job. And those drivers deserve a fair return on their labor. The people who invested it deserve a fair return on their investments. But at the same time, the users are entitled to quality service and a fair charge. And what the commission has to do is find out where that balance is.
If I'm understanding you correctly, are you opposed to drivers being on the taxicab commission?
No, I'm not opposed or in favor of anything until I get a chance to really examine what we're doing. Because if you want, if it might be okay, let's put them on the commission. Then why do you need public hearings? I mean, if all the parties are on the commission, why do we need public hearings? They will come into the commission meetings and state their positions. You see what I'm saying?
Have you followed Title 31? Are you aware?
I'm reading it. I'm trying to follow. It's long, and it's got some convolutions in it.
Drivers were concerned. The July meeting was canceled. Some of the proposed changes to Title 31, Chapter 6 and 8, would make drivers buy a new car every 5 years, which would put most drivers out of business. Is this something you will reopen and have full hearings on?
Every rule and regulation should be subject to reopening whenever there is a problem with it. Rules and regulations are not going to be put in concrete. Things don't stay in concrete. You have to continue to keep looking at it because things change. Now, I don't know the details of that. I don't believe that the mayor is interested in putting drivers out of business. Now, are we interested in the fleet being upgraded? Sure, of course. We'll look to see what are the incentives. How is the new federal Green Cab Act? What does it offer us to do this? How can we build incentives so that it becomes a way to do things. You don't serve any purpose. You put the guys out of business.
So are you, Dina Reed, the former interim chair, will she now become the general, go back to general counsel?
She has been general counsel and acting chair.
Will she go back to general counsel?
Yeah, she's general counsel. Monday morning I'm chair, she's general counsel.
So is the now as general counsel and then as interim chair, she has been the one shepherding through these changes to Title 31. Are you going to pick up where she left out, or are you going to reopen things up?
I'm going to take a good hard look at where we are in the process and how that process serves the public interest.
Do you get to pick your general counsel?
The mayor gets to pick. I guess the mayor's attorney general gets to pick the general counsel, I believe.
Are you comfortable with her as general
counsel? I have not met Ms. Reed. I want to meet her. I hope to meet her tomorrow. I'm not going to make any advanced judgments, until I meet, talk, find out what her interests are. There has to be a chemistry, obviously, and then hopefully there might be a chemistry. But I don't rush into things. I like to take a good, hard look, because there's a lot of people that are affected by this. If it was just you and me, we could make a quick decision. But there's a lot of people affected, and the challenge is to get everybody feeling they had a part of the process, that they were part of getting to the decision. May not like it, but eventually you got to make a decision, but you got to make it on the basis of knowing what you're doing and not just because you want this. That's where I come from.
There are widespread concerns amongst drivers with hack inspectors and a lack of accountability. Is this something that you're going to take into consideration?
Well, I spent 26 years with the Metropolitan Police Department, and if I'm in charge of hack inspectors, I want them to function professionally.
Thanks so much for your time. Any final thoughts you care to share?
I'm going to stress again, fair and reasonable. That's what this is all about. You have to be fair and reasonable. You've got people's livelihoods involved in this, and you have people's pocketbooks involved in this. And you got to make those two work together.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
That was Ron Linton speaking directly after the mayor's Wednesday press conference, where Gray named him the new taxicab commission chair. Linton replaces Dina Reed, whose tenure as interim chair lasted just 3 months and was marked by controversy, particularly over the arrests of two journalists, myself and Jim Epstein of Reason TV, at a public meeting of the Taxicab Commission. Dina Reed, however, won't be going far, but instead will continue on as general counsel for the Taxicab Commission, a position she held under former chair Leon Swain. Under Swain, then general counsel, Reed attempted to ban Fox 5 photojournalist Jason Smith from recording a public meeting of the Taxicab Commission. We're having a little bit of trouble with that clip. We're going to go to then-General Counsel Reed attempting to ban Fox 5 photojournalist Jason Smith at a public meeting of the Taxicab Commission. Why can't there be a camera in here?
Because the commission is not... No, you're not going to be calling me either. I'm not going to be on record.
Is this a public meeting?
It is a public meeting, and you're welcome to stay and observe.
Okay.
You cannot record the meeting unless the commission allows you to do so. It does not. I don't have to show you anything at this point.
Can you state your name?
My name is Dina Reed. I'm the general counsel of the commission. Come out the room.
Because honestly, unless you show me specifically where it says that...
The commission rules do not provide for... I can't show you anything because it's not written in there to allow for cameras. If it's not... Okay, then we won't be having a meeting. If the cameras don't leave the room, we're not going to have the meeting.
Since when?
Since right now.
We've covered these before with the problem.
I've been here, so I don't know anything about when you... No, you haven't. You've been here. Yes, you have. Been here.
Absolutely.
You haven't recorded. You have not had cameras in these rooms.
Since I am... Explain to me the statute that says I can't be here, you can show it to me.
Mr. Swain.
I will gladly leave. I have no problem leaving, but if it's a public meeting, you can't just throw me...
It's a public meeting. You're welcome to stay and observe the meeting.
I will.
Not with the cameras running.
That was then General Counsel Dena Reed attempting to ban Fox 5 photojournalist Jason Smith from recording a public meeting of the Taxicab Commission in March. Reed, who served for 3 months as interim chair, will now return to her position as general counsel. In one of her final acts as interim chair, Reed extended the dollar gas fuel charge through November. A statement from the D.C. Taxicab Commission reads, "The fuel surcharge of $1 per trip has been extended from Wednesday, July 27th through Thursday, November 17th, unless earlier terminated by the commission." In another of her final acts as interim chair, Reed published her proposed amendments to Chapters 10 and 11 of Title 31, the regulatory code that governs the taxicab industry. The statement in the D.C. Register, published Friday, July 22nd, reads, "The Taxicab Commission hereby gives notice of its intent to issue final rules in not less than 30 days after the publication of this notice in the D.C. Register." Reed is pushing forward with her attempted changes to Title 31, despite the fact that she canceled the Taxicab Commission's July meeting. The controversial June meeting ended with no reporters and few drivers in the audience. Even Washington Post columnist John Kelly was prevented from returning to the June meeting after he followed protesting drivers out of U.S. Park Police headquarters where the meeting was held. The following day in his column, Kelly wrote, "When I tried to go back into the meeting, a very large uniformed Park Police officer barred my way. Just following orders," he shrugged. "I don't know if there were any reporters in there while Reed and the Taxicab Commission finished their business. I wonder if that's what she wanted in the first place," wrote Kelly. So, despite holding a June meeting where press access was denied and canceling the July meeting, Reed continues to move forward with proposed changes to Title 31. Some of the previous amendments Reed attempted to push through include forcing drivers into buying a new car every 5 years and giving further power to hack inspectors who routinely abuse what authority they already have, according to numerous drivers. New Taxicab Commission Chair Ron Linton appears to be taking a more democratic approach. Linton said every rule and regulation should be subject to reopening whenever there's a problem with it. We now turn to a conversation on the new chair of the Taxicab Commission. Ron Linton has had a long and distinguished career in public service. According to his bio at the Karman Group where he works, Linton specializes in transportation and water resources. He worked on John F. Kennedy's 1960 presidential campaign and was later named Director of Economic Utilization Policy at the Department of Defense. Continuing from his bio at the Karman Group, Ron Linton has a distinguished record in civic affairs. He is the author of the book Terricide, America's Destruction of Her Living Environment. He has served as a visiting fensellow in urban and environmental studies at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, has been chairman of the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority, and in 1996 headed a task force on the future of Washington's New York Avenue, a major entryway into the capital city. For 25 years, he has been a reserve police officer in the Metropolitan Police Department of the District of Columbia, rising to the level of assistant chief. Joining us on the line to discuss Linton's appointment as Taxicab Commission Chair is someone who has known him for years. Dorothy Brazil is a veteran D.C. journalist and executive director of D.C. Watch. Also joining us in studio is Ali, a member of Dominion and the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxicab Drivers. Dorothy, welcome. I wanted to begin with you as a...
Good evening.
Good evening. It's so good to have you. I know that you have been covering the Taxicab Commission for years, so I look forward to getting some of the perspective that you have on this body. But first, I wanted to know if you could lay out some of what you know about Ron Linton.
Well, I've known Mr. Linton for at least 20 years. I first met him when he was a reserve officer in the Metropolitan Police Department, and I have followed him and our paths have crossed on many issues. I unfortunately have not had the opportunity to work with him on a project, nor have I been at crosshairs with Mr. Linton. Let me share with you my shorthand observation of Ron Linton. For individuals such as yourself, and especially the cab drivers, I think that they will find in Ron Linton a person who is approachable. He's a very pleasant person. He's a very smart guy. He's an attorney by training. For more than 20 years, he had his own law firm in the District of Columbia. And as you mentioned, he's been on or chaired a number of important boards and authorities in the D.C. region, whether or not it was the Airports Authority or the Water and Sewer Authority. So in terms of having someone who is unapproachable, doesn't want to hear what you want to say, and is combative, I think Ron Linton will be a breath of fresh air. Now, on the downside, I think that Mr. Linton himself will acknowledge he's never attended a meeting of the Taxi Cab Commission. He's not up to speed as regards the number of issues over there. But I think that he is a capable, bright man who has the ability to get up to speed. Moreover, his nomination cannot go to the council until it comes out of its summer recess, which will be September 14th. And then the council will have to schedule a confirmation hearing. So I don't think you'll be able to see Mr. Linton seated as chairman of the Taxi Cab Commission until probably sometime the first part of October. But when I spoke with him last week during the mayor's press conference, he indicated he was committed to getting over there, rolling up his sleeve, finding out what some of the issues are. And I strongly encouraged him to have discussions and, if possible, informal meetings and opportunities to discuss the issues with cab drivers directly.
Dorothy, you're saying he can't get confirmed by the council until they return from the summer recess September 14th. So then is he serving then as acting chair until that time?
Well, every regulatory body has its own rules and regulations. The district law does not allow the mayor to forward a nomination of anyone whose nomination requires council confirmation during the summer recess. So the first opportunity the mayor will have to forward his nomination will be on September 14th, and I dare say that I assume the council will hold a confirmation hearing in quick order. Now, there have been instances where individuals are the mayor's chosen nominee, and they can attend meetings and what have you. But he will not have any legal authority to serve as chairman. Whether or not it's to do an official review of staff, to sign any documents, anything like that at the Taxi Cab Commission, until he is has his confirmation hearing and he is confirmed by a vote of the council. And I think the first legislative meeting of the council will probably be the first week in October. So that does not mean, however, that he can't get over there and learn the issues and learn the lay of the land and talk to people and what have you. But I just want to set for your listeners what the time frame is in terms of this will not be immediate change, but this will be change down the road.
This is interesting and it's news to me. So can he draw a salary starting? He's going to sit in the interview. He said, Monday he understands that he's chair and Dina Reed returns to general counsel. So I think his understanding is somewhat different. Do you know, have a sense of whether he draws a salary?
Well, let me just preface my remarks by saying every board and entity in the District of Columbia has a separate legal authority in the D.C. Code. Normally the process is you cannot draw a salary. You cannot act in an official capacity until your nomination is approved by the council. I assumed that what Mr. Linton was referring to last week was he was simply going to go over there to educate himself and inform himself. Now, there could be a provision that allows him to act in an interim capacity while pending council confirmation. I am not aware of.
Dorothy, you've covered the Taxi Cab Commission for years. You have perspective that I'd love to hear and that I'm missing. Can you talk about how you've seen this body over the years?
Well, when I first got involved in attending the meetings of the Taxi Cab Commission and following the issues was at a period of time several years ago when it was in crisis mode like it is now. A number of cab drivers who I respected greatly were coming to me with issues and problems, whether or not it was regarding the exam or the high-handedness of the staff, the oddities of the operation of the board or what have you. When I first got involved in following the Taxi Cab Commission, it was in a crisis mode like it is now. And indeed, I know that there were several attempts by the FBI to do investigations as regards issues over there. It never really came to anything, but the commission has been under a cloud of one sort for the past 10, 15 years. And I think everybody, whether or not you're a cab driver or you're a consumer of taxi cab service or you're an official in D.C. government, cannot be happy with the operations of the Taxi Cab Commission. And as you know, there has been some recent discussions about whether or not the Taxi Cab Commission should be abolished, whether or not taxi cab industry should simply come under the Department of Transportation or what have you. I think that all of those discussions will go forward. I hope that Mr. Linton will consult with cab drivers. I hope it will be an open, robust discussion, and I hope everybody will have a place at the table to have their voice heard. But I am saddened to learn that things have not improved for the taxi cab industry, and indeed, I hope that Mr. Linton's appointment, as well as the other appointments the mayor has yet to make of members to the Taxi Cab Commission, will signal a new day and time on the board.
That's the voice of Dorothy Brazil, veteran D.C. journalist and executive director of D.C. Watch. Also joining me in studio is Ali, who's a member of the Small Business Association as well as of Dominion. Ali, these are the first time that you're hearing Ron Linton, coming Taxi Cab Commission chair. What are some of the thoughts that you have?
Well, good evening to everybody. Listening to Mr. Linton, it seemed like he's a fair-minded person. But for him to come and say that there is no need for the drivers to be in the commission, that's really alarming for me. Because if the drivers are not represented, drivers' point of view is not listened to and heard in the commission when they are making the decision, that's alarming to me. And I don't know what will happen if we allow only a couple of people or two, three people to make the whole decision without really knowing what is happening in the field, when, you know, the drivers being on the street daily, dealing with all the problems and issues of driving a cab. If they are not represented, I don't know if someone like Mr. Linton is going to really know what the drivers are going through.
It's an important point. I want to go to that clip that we played earlier, just a clip of Linton's comments, particularly around this issue around drivers being on the Taxi Cab Commission. My understanding is the 1985 Taxi Cab Commission Establishment Act calls for three industry representatives to be on the commission. Presently, there are none. There are three vacancies
open. There's two, isn't there? I'd have to look at that. But I think the question we have to ask is, do you want public hearings? I mean, what's the purpose of public hearings if you have a commission where everybody already has a position? I don't have a position. I want to know what the facts are. I want to know who gets help, who gets hurt, how do you make this fair and balanced? If I represent an interest group, or if I stand up at the beginning and say, here's what I think about it, it doesn't become a commission. It's a dictatorship.
Are you referring to drivers? Because right now there's not a single driver. Are you referring to them as a special interest group?
Well, of course they are. They're interested in drivers, and they have a right to be. But that isn't the decision isn't going to be made by the drivers sitting at the table and the consumers sitting at the table arguing with each other. That isn't the way you want to do this.
Some are concerned that the reason they've gotten to this point where there's been so much turmoil is because drivers have been completely left out of the political process.
No, they won't be. They won't be. They'll be in the process. It's not a political process. It's a rational process to let everybody get clear what the impact is on them. Drivers deserve a reasonable return on their labor. They have tough jobs. There's just anybody wants to be a taxi driver because they think it's easy, blessings on them. That's a tough job. And those drivers deserve a fair return on their labor. The people who invested it deserve a fair return on their investments. But at the same time, the users are entitled to quality service and a fair charge. And what the commission has to do is find out where that balance is.
If I'm understanding you correctly, are you opposed to drivers being on the Taxi Cab Commission?
No, I'm not opposed or in favor of anything until I get a chance to really examine what we're doing. Because if you want, if it might be okay, well, let's put them on the commission. Then why do you need public hearings? I mean, if all the parties are on the commission, why do we need public hearings? They will come into the commission meetings and state their positions. You see what I'm saying?
That's the voice of Ron Linton, who Mayor Gray on Wednesday named as the next taxicab commission chair. As Dorothy Brazil of D.C. Watch pointed out, that is he has to get confirmed by the D.C. Council when they return from summer recess. Ali, you laid out some of your concerns with those comments. Dorothy Brazil, do you have any thoughts on those comments?
I unfortunately could not hear the clip from Mr. Linton. Let me just say, respond to Ali's concern. I have not had an opportunity in the past few days to look at the code and the regulations governing membership on the Taxicab Commission. It was my recollection that these regulations do call for a representative, at least one, of the taxicab industry. So I'm not quite sure what Mr. Linton is talking about, if in fact he has in mind not having a member of the taxicab industry on the commission, because it's my recollection that a representative of the taxicab industry has always been on the commission.
Until recently, and since I've been covering it, there hasn't been, but my understanding is the 1985 Taxicab Commission establishment that calls for three industry reps to be on it. I think there are claims that there are two, but they are hard to pass the laugh test. Ali, do you want to jump in?
Well, as far as I know, there are supposed to be three driver industry members to be represented in the Taxicab Commission. But for a long time, there hasn't been even one. There was only one for a long time, and now there is none. And that's why I think there is so much chaotic stuff coming out of this Taxicab Commission, because
right.
The drivers are not represented. The voice of the drivers not being heard. We are the ones who are experiencing all the hassles of driving a cab, and if the officials are not willing to let the driver representative to sit there and explain to these people, who may be good people, but if they don't know what they are making decision for, this chaotic stuff is going to continue, and I'm telling you that now.
My recollection was that Adrian Fenty he could appoint people from the tourist industry, such as I think there's a gentleman on there who is a general manager of a hotel downtown, and Paul Cohen, who is the manager of several restaurants in D.C. And as Ali says, that's no substitute for having a driver or a representative of the taxi industry itself on there. But, you know, Adrian Fenty's appointments to boards and commissions was not very good. And in many instances, he just, you know, benign neglect. He just neglected quality appointments. I think that if this is an issue that you're seriously concerned about, Ali and Peter, I think you need to make yourselves known to Ron Linton in terms of calling him up and asking for a meeting. And I think early on, I think you need to get this issue resolved, because the mayor does have some additional appointments to make to the Taxicab Commission, and you want to make sure that taxicab drivers are included in for possible consideration on the commission.
Dorothy Brazil, do you want to jump in?
Yeah, I was in one of the meetings with Mayor Gray before he becomes mayor, and
uh-huh.
He basically said to us that a driver representative should be in the Taxicab Commission.
Okay.
He said he's going to follow the 1985 Act of Taxicab Commission Establishment Act, and I'm
okay.
Hoping he's going to continue with his words.
Okay,
and
to make your point even stronger, the head of the Office of Boards and Commissions is a gentleman by the name of Ronald Collins. I think if you have some drivers or some fleet owners who are interested in serving on the Taxicab Commission, you need to get their names and possibly their resumes and backgrounds to Ron Collins' office right away. And that way you can preclude them from saying, oh, we didn't know of anybody who wanted to serve on the commission. We couldn't find any quality nominations. I think that you need to not only talk to Ron Linton, I think you need to talk to the mayor's director of boards and commissions and make some nominations yourself.
Dorothy Brazil, you mentioned an interesting point about Adrian Fenty when it came to these boards and commissions and benign neglect or appointing – there seemed to be a and I read about this thanks to your reporting in the Mail. A lot of his running partners were appointed to boards and commissions.
Right.
This is an issue that didn't get a lot of play. And I've been at – this week I went to – one this past week I know there was, I think, three swearing-ins of boards and commissioners. So it seems like there's been a more serious approach to these very important bodies which do significant work in the District of Columbia. But I was wondering if you could talk about these boards and commissions, and also you mentioned Fenty's approach to them.
Well, I mean, it got to the point on some of these boards and commissions which have a specific function, regulatory and or adjudicative function in the district government, that they couldn't even meet because they didn't have a quorum, because there were so many seats that were vacant on their boards, whether or not it was UDC or the Public Employees Relations Board or others. And so when you have a mayor who simply does not appoint people to boards because it's not an interest or a priority of his, and then if he does appoint people, there are individuals who have questionable backgrounds or their sole claim to fame or their former running buddies of his. And my favorite one is the mayor tried to appoint someone to be a member of the D.C. Board of Elections. And this was a gentleman who was 35 years old. He had only voted in the District of Columbia once in an entire lifetime, and that was to elect to vote for Adrian Fenty. And so, I mean, you know, the fact that he hadn't voted but once showed his lack of interest and commitment to the electoral process. So why should this person be appointed to the Board of Elections? But it turned out that he was a member of the mayor's bicycle racing team. Unfortunately, we've had that. I think the Mayor Gray's people are trying to dig themselves out of a hole in terms of trying to fill some of these vacancies. And that's why I think that if anyone wants to be nominated or has someone they think would be a quality appointment on any of these boards and commissions, especially the Taxicab Commission, then forward that name with a resume to Ronald Collins in the mayor's office.
Thank you so much, Dorothy Brazil. Any final thoughts you care to share? And thanks for your time, and thanks for your great work.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Dorothy Brazil, Executive Director of DC Watch. Ali, any final thoughts before we go to a music break? And when we come back, we're going to be talking to the Director of the Department of Motor Vehicles about an amnesty program that begins tomorrow regarding tickets.
Well, regarding the nomination of the drivers to the Taxicab Commission, we have had several people that we know that our organization, Dominion of Cab Drivers, Small Business Association, and this small DC Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association, we have had a pool of people to take the resume. Actually, this organization took the resume of these people to the mayor's office and given them to the mayor's office. So they have these names, which we think they are qualified to serve as a taxicab commission. So they have that. And I am hoping that they're going to let the driver representative to sit in that taxicab commission.
This is the voice of DC cab drivers, brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers, a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. The Small Business Association consists of the following driver-owned cab companies and associations: Allied, Ambassador, Black Pearl, Camel, DC Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association, Dominion, Grand, Luxury, Pleasant, Season, Swift, Travelers, UCC, Washingtonian, Welcome, and Wonder Cab. For those interested in becoming a member of the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers, you can find out more information by visiting the offices of the driver-owned companies that make up the Small Business Association, such as UCC, Luxury, and Grand. For drivers interested in staying up on the latest in the industry, you can join the Saturday night 9 to 11 p.m. phone conference, which is conducted in both Amharic and English. I work with Ermias Wosenu to produce the English segment of the phone conference. You can join in each Saturday night from 9 to 11 p.m. by dialing 712-432-3100, 712-432-3100, and then entering the passcode, which is 140465. If you miss any of this information, the entire audio for the show and much of the text will be posted tomorrow at thefightback.org. You can sign up for email updates at thefightback.org, and for those on Facebook and Twitter, you can find The Fight Back there as well. I'm Pete Tucker. When we come back, we're going to take a quick music break. When we return, we'll be joined by Lucinda Babers, Director of the District Department of Motor Vehicles. Tomorrow, the DMV begins a ticket amnesty program for tickets issued prior to January 1st, 2010. If you have questions for the director of the Department of Motor Vehicles, you can ask them directly by calling us at 703-534-9878. Again, after the music break, we'll be speaking with the director of the Department of Motor Vehicles. And if you have questions for her about the amnesty program, you can join us at 703-534-9878.
Come, you masters of war. You that build the big guns. You that build the death planes. You that build all the bombs. You that hide behind walls. You that hide behind disks. I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing but build to destroy. You play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes. Then you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won. You want me to believe, but I see through your eyes. And I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain. You fasten all the triggers for the others to fire. And then you sit back and watch when the death count gets high.
That was Bob Dylan's Masters of War. As Democrats and Republicans fight over whether to raise the debt ceiling, amazingly, there's almost no discussion in the media about the cost of war. From Iraq to Afghanistan to Libya and Pakistan, the U.S. spends approximately as much on its military as the rest of the world combined. Yet somehow to Social Security and other social programs, not the Pentagon, facing harsh cuts. This is the voice of D.C. cab drivers, and yes, we cover local issues. At the end of the program, we'll be crossing over the D.C. line into Prince George's County to discuss the major victory drivers there won just this week. But first, we speak with Lucinda Babers, director of the district's Department of Motor Vehicles, which begins a ticket amnesty program starting tomorrow, Monday, August 1st. Welcome, Director Babers.
Thank you, Pete.
It's great to have you with us. So I think drivers will be very interested to learn about this amnesty program that you're launching starting tomorrow.
Yes, starting tomorrow, August 1st, DCDMV and Mayor Vincent Gray will be implementing our ticket amnesty program. And that program is going to be for all ticket types, parking tickets, move-in violations, and photo tickets that were issued prior to January 1st, 2010. And what we're basically doing is we're waiving the penalty on all those eligible tickets.
So the penalty, what happens if you don't pay it within 30 days, something like that, it doubles?
Right. Currently what happens when you are issued a ticket, you have 30 days for us to receive payment. If you don't receive payment within 30 days on day 31, then the ticket doubles. And then after an additional 30 days, there's an additional $5 penalty that will get added on. So this is quite a savings for those people who take advantage of the six-month ticket amnesty program.
And so if you have a ticket, then you would only be paying that initial ticket price if you take advantage of this window of opportunity here?
Correct. Correct. The program will go from August 1st through January 27th of 2012, and we are encouraging everybody who is eligible to take advantage. Because for move-in violations, there'll also be no points assessed if you have outstanding move-in violations, which you need to pay.
And how can drivers go about, what's the process for taking advantage of that?
Well, we expect quite the crowd due to this program. So we're encouraging people to go online to our website at dmv.dc.gov, People can also call in and make payments over the phone, and that phone number is 866-893-5023. Or we also have, for the next 2 weeks, you can go online also to our website, and you can enter your ticket information, and we'll do the research for you, and we'll email you whether or not you have eligible tickets that fall within amnesty. And then if you absolutely must, then you can visit us at Adjudication Services, which is located at 301 C Street Northwest.
You're expecting large crowds there?
We are. Currently, even without the ticket amnesty program, we service approximately 800 to 1,000 customers a day. And so once ticket amnesty is introduced tomorrow, we really expect that volume to increase.
We're speaking with Lucinda Babers, Director of the District Department of Motor Vehicles. If you have a question for her, the number to call is 703-534-9878, 703-534-9878. I'm also joined in studio by Ali, who's got a question.
Hi, Lucinda. The question I have is this amnesty program only covers tickets issued before January of 2011? Is that right?
No, that's prior to January 1st, 2010.
Okay.
Any other message you want to get out? And I imagine since taxi cab drivers are in their cars an awful lot, I imagine there might be a few tickets for drivers.
Right. This is an opportunity for taxi cab drivers, for just everyone to take advantage of getting this debt taken care of. In many cases, the district has what's called clean hands, and in some cases, individuals may not be able to get service from either DCDMV or maybe even the taxi commission themselves if they owe outstanding debt. So this is an opportunity to satisfy that debt.
How much money do you anticipate raising from this?
We anticipate collecting $6.3 million approximately, and the amount that's outstanding that we could potentially collect is $245 million. So
that's a lot of tickets.
Amount.
That's an awful lot of tickets.
Correct, which is why we're trying to offer this incentive to get that money paid.
Is this unique, or is this something that you've seen other jurisdictions do?
Well, there have been other jurisdictions who have done this. We also offered a ticket amnesty program in 2001, and so this isn't our first time offering it, but it's been about 10 years, so we felt it was time, especially during these economic times, to also offer another ticket amnesty program.
Well, thanks so much for your time, Director Babers. We hope to get that information out. It sounds like it's going to be a very busy week. I think it sounds like every week is busy at Department of Motor Vehicles. Actually, we do have one caller who has just joined us, so let's see if we can get that question while we still have you with us.
Okay.
Caller, welcome to the Voice of DC Cab Drivers. Do you have a question for Director Babers?
Yes, I think for cab drivers, this suggestion it doesn't work. You know, in order to renew your fare, you have to pay your ticket. So this is before January 2010. If you have ticket, you know, you cannot renew your fare. So I don't
Excellent
think
point.
It works for cab drivers.
Excellent point, and one that I hadn't thought of. Thank you for calling in.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Director Babers, any final thoughts before we let you go? And thanks so much for your time.
Well, no, there may be some cab drivers who have not been able to renew their PAC license due to outstanding tickets. So, you know, if that is the case, I would encourage those individuals to take advantage of the amnesty program.
Well, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, we appreciate it. We finish up the program by turning to Prince George's County, where the Taxi Workers Alliance won a major victory this week. The county council recently passed an anti-driver bill which prohibits medallions from being issued to independent drivers. But the anti-driver legislation, CB3, has not yet gone into effect, that independent drivers still have a chance at getting a medallion which allows them to no longer work for the handful of big companies that have a stranglehold on the county's taxi industry. In a July 3rd op-ed in the Sunday Washington Post, Prince George's County Councilmember Mary Lehman wrote, "This is a classic David versus Goliath struggle. in Prince George's County, what has stood between independent drivers and economic security is a system that is reminiscent of the sharecropper system in the Old South, in which poor white and black farmers could never get ahead. While cab companies pay the county $200 per year per licensed vehicle, drivers who affiliate with those companies pay a staggering $335 per week, or about 50% of their earnings, to essentially rent the license from the corporate holder. Appearing on The Voice of D.C. Cab Drivers, Councilmember Mary Lehman discussed the anti-driver legislation known as CB3.
We had a briefing where we kind of were given, you know, the background and the industry and the history of the law that had passed last year. And I, you know, my immediate reaction was in the op-ed piece, I call it, but I immediately said to myself, you know, this is like a system of indentured servitude is what I thought of. We're just, there's just no way it's no one's ever going to get ahead in a system like that. When you're paying out, you know, 50% right off the top of your earnings, you know, how do you ever, you know, even make ends meet, never mind get ahead? It just, it's shocking, really, that any industry in this day and age can operate legally in that fashion. And it reminded me, you know, of Martin Luther King's words back in 1968, right before he was assassinated, when he went down to Memphis to talk to sanitation workers, and he talked about what a travesty it is for a man to, you know, work a full day for essentially half a day's pay. And I think that's exactly, I can't think of a better analogy for these cab drivers, the ones who have to affiliate with the companies.
That was Prince George's County Councilmember Mary Lehman. You can listen to the full interview with her at thefightback.org. Also taking part in the conversation was Henok Wogdurs, who is one of the lead organizers of the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance and is joining us on the line. Welcome, Henok.
Thanks for having me, Pete.
Oh, it's my pleasure. This week was a very interesting week for drivers in Prince George's County. I attended several hours of a hearing of the taxi board. I think you were there all day long. It went on for hours, in which I'm going to try and explain it, and then you fill in the gaps here. Because CB3, which is the anti-driver legislation that was passed by the Prince George's County Council recently, but it has not yet gone into effect. And so the legislation from a year ago still governs, and that requires that some 390 medallions be issued directly to independent drivers, not to the few big companies that dominate the county's taxi industry. But only 254 of those medallions have been issued. So there's quite a few that are remaining. And the position of the county seemed to be that they were just going to not issue out any of those. But the organizing of the Taxi Workers Alliance appears to be paying off. And this week, you saw at the taxi board hearing what some 37 drivers who appear now to be on the verge of getting those medallions after it looked like things had been closed up. But really explain what's going on here. This is a significant victory. It appears that Taxi Workers Alliance is again on the verge of another significant victory on behalf of drivers.
Yeah, that was a major victory for us in terms of because those drivers have been waiting for this since January, because their application was rejected by the Department of Environmental Resources that was supposed to review the applications. So they've been, you know, appealing the rejection, and finally about 34 drivers got a response from the department back in May, telling them now their application is complete, but they wouldn't be getting their medallions till October. You know, the catch for that was the county council, in the meantime, was in the process of passing the legislation that will prevent any drivers from getting the medallions in the future. So that legislation was passed this past July the 5th. That will stop the medallions issuance. But since the law cannot take effect for another 45 days after it was signed, those drivers went and appealed to the taxi board, even though there was very little confidence in the taxi board that they'll rule in our favor. But the pressure has paid off this past Tuesday. They granted 37 of the 63 people who appealed their case to be granted the medallions immediately.
Can you talk about this taxi board? It's interesting in and of itself, but it also parallels some of what D.C. drivers have experienced with the D.C. Taxi Cab Commission. What's the makeup supposed to be like, and what is it with the Prince George's Taxi Board?
Yeah, according to the county code, there's got to be 5 members on the taxi board, of which 2 has to be from the industry, and 1 has to be a full-time taxi driver. As you know, County Executive Baker has been in the office since December. We met with him back in January and February, talked to him about this code. He told us to submit our nominees that we think are qualified, but they have not responded to our application. But also, they have not nominated any drivers, I mean anybody to the taxi board. So the current taxi board, which itself, you know, we do believe that doesn't have the legitimacy, is continuing to be in the taxi board.
It was interesting. First of all, I just want to let folks know you're listening to the Voice of DC Cab Drivers here on WUST Washington, 1120 AM. I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, thefightback.org, where you can get all of the past shows, as well as last week's interview with Henok Wilders and District 1 Councilmember Mary Lehman. They really laid out these issues. It was interesting, Henok, the organizing that has gone on in order to, create the atmosphere whereby enough pressure could be brought to bear so that some of those medallions could be freed up. One of the things that you did was you had a lawyer who not everybody knew that they had that option because it's always hard to reach everybody, but a number of people availed themselves the opportunity to be represented by counsel so they were not going before the taxi board without representation.
Yeah, actually, that is one factor that did work in our favor, was having the drivers being represented by the council. Because when you go individually and when you have a council, that's a very different hearing. And they're also, like, you know, he was briefed by our former attorney, Aurora Vasquez. She still works with us, but she's not in the area for a while. So she's very familiar with the kids. So she have told him all the issues and the codes. So he was well prepared for it, actually, to ask those questions for the taxi board, who were not fully aware of the taxi code itself. I mean, the taxi board are not very familiar with the taxi code itself. So they did not come prepared. So that did work in our advantage.
And that attorney's name is Lloyd Scott.
Yes.
Henok, can you talk about the organizing? So right now, because CB3 hasn't gone into effect because it's 45 days after it was signed, and I think you mentioned it was July 5th that legislation was signed. But you're attempting to, the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance, along with allies, significant allies like Casa de Maryland, like PRISM, which is an interfaith organization of that deals with social justice, and other allies, you're working to stop CB3 from coming into effect at all, which is going to require a major effort. Some 10,000 signatures are required. So talk about this effort and let drivers know how, if at all, they can help out.
Yeah, you know, CB3 was passed, like, you know, without any consideration to the public interest or to the drivers. You know, CB3 was a bill that was proposed and was passed just to protect those taxi companies' interest. But, you know, there's a code in the state that allows us to get enough signatures that we can challenge CB3 from taking effect. So if we get 10,000 signatures within the 90 days, or we got to get more than 3,300 signatures to extend the bill for another 45 days. But in total, we got to get 10,000 signatures within 90 days of the signing of the bill. That will stop the bill from taking effect. And it's got to be put on a referendum for November 2012. So, which means the current law, CB 36, which was the legislation that was passed last July, that reforms the taxi industry, will be the law until the peoples of the Prince George's County have a say on November 2012.
And what I think you said Tuesday, we spoke earlier, actually we spoke last night on the phone conference, the 9 to 11 p.m. Saturday night phone conference, which folks, we gave out the information earlier, and that'll be at thefightback.org, that information. But I think you said that Tuesday night is a big night, and you're looking to get a lot of signatures?
Yeah, because Tuesday night is a national night out. It's a very big event in the Prince George's County. There's more than 50 places where they're having a sanction in the county between the hours of 5 to 8 o'clock. And some of those events can do up to 4,000 or 5,000 people. So we are planning to have all our drivers and our allies to cover those events and to get as many signatures as we can so that we can stop this law from taking effect.
Hanok, do folks realize in Prince George's County, I think sometimes when organizing pays off, it seems like it was inevitable. Like those 37 who look like they're now in a position to get the medallions, like that would have just happened. But it seems that having looked just a little bit, and I know you a lot more have studied the taxi board in Prince George's County, that is a direct result of the organizing. Are folks realizing that hard work, those years of organizing that has been done is paying off?
Yeah, you know, folks have been paying attention to that. Also our drivers, like, you know, from the beginning where we come from, we came a long way from forming the organization, creating the members, and, you know, making the drivers understand what we can do, what we cannot do, into pushing the county council to pass in a legislation. But also, like, you know, the struggle that we went through that prevented that the bill was vetoed, you know, we had to go to court from that law to take effect. So it's been a long journey, and, you know, all drivers are being involved in this as the days go on. So, but also the people of the county are paying attention to these details, especially now with this corruption issues that's been always in the center of the county's talk. That people are paying attention why the legislation was passed, and they've been very supportive of us.
I want to keep getting weekly updates from you as far as where you're, the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance and allies are at as far as signatures. Where do you stand right now?
We are, like, you know, halfway on our the 45-day milestones. We are very optimistic that we'll reach that 3,000 to 4,000 numbers by this Tuesday. So we're shooting for that, and we'll get the rest of it in the next 45 days from August 28th. But we're not planning to take it that long. We want to get it done as soon as we can so that, you know, we can concentrate on the other issues that will arrive in the future. But also those 37 drivers who were granted to get the medallions on this Tuesday, the fight is not over, because even though the taxi board ruled for those drivers to get the medallions, well, we were going to wait and see if those drivers are going to get there later so that they can go and get their medallions. From our experience, it took 5 months for the Department of Environmental Resources to give out the medallions for those 254 drivers, and there's been a long fight with them. You know, they would not process us until it was on the news why they were not processing it. Because so we are also expecting, you know, that thing can happen, that the DR might not comply with the taxi board rulings. But we're waiting and see as soon as they get their letters.
How would you describe the attitude of the Department of Environmental Resources? And it's kind of a weird, when you think environmental resources, you wouldn't assume that they would have oversight of the Taxi Cab Commission, but in Prince George's County, that is the case.
Yeah, you know, actually, the Department of Environmental Resources, especially the Business License Office, has had a very close relationship with those taxi company owners. There's some rumors the Business License Director, Mr. Bedard Kashanian, is also related to one of the taxi cab owners, the Silver Cab Taxi Cab Company. So there have always been against the drivers in the process of passing CB 36. After passing CB 36, that's why there have always been obstacles in between the drivers and their freedom as the Department of Environmental Resources. And also, like, you know, if you look at the process, it took them 9 months for them to implement the law that was passed by the county council that allows the drivers to get the medallion. So that tells you where the Department of Environmental stands on those issues.
Thanks, Henok Wolders. I want to say that I can't independently verify any of the specific relationships about the Department of Environmental Resources. Any final thoughts you care to share, as well as any thoughts you have about some of the similarities between, well, it's the taxi board in Prince George's County and the Taxi Cab Commission in D.C., but we see drivers too often left out of the political process. But any final thoughts you care to share, Henok Wolders, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, I hope to have, you know, drivers representation in the taxi board, because nobody knows this industry more than the taxi cab drivers whose life is invested. And we wouldn't be having all this crazy messes that's been going on if we had a representation. So we're going to keep pushing for the county executive to nominate a driver at the taxi board according to the code. And we hope to see the same thing appearing in the neighboring jurisdiction like D.C. I think you guys they are fighting for the same thing. I hope to see that change happen. And I hope also we work with the neighboring jurisdiction, Taxi Cab Association and organization.
Well, thanks so much for your time. It's Henok Wolders, one of the lead organizers of the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance, who won a major victory this week. Looks like 37 drivers are on their way to getting medallions in a county that is dominated by a handful of businesses. You had even council members like Mary Lehman describing the situation there in really harsh terms, and yet you see drivers organizing, organizing, organizing. And for a fuller interview with Henok Wolders, as well as District 1 Councilmember Mary Lehman, check out last week's The Voice of DC Cab Drivers, which is posted at thefightback.org. A special thanks to Mark Taylor for doing a super job engineering today's show. For Ali, I'm Pete Tucker. Tune in next week to The Voice of DC Cab Drivers. You were just listening to The Voice of DC Cab Drivers, brought to you by Dominion of Cab Drivers here on WST 1120 AM. Tune in Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. to catch the show live, or to download and listen to past programs, visit thefightback.org.
I'm not the only soul accused of hit and run. Tire tracks all across your back. I can see you had your fun, but darling, can't you see my signals turn from green to red? And with you, I can see a traffic jam.